Today, I am blown away to have two experts from Microsoft on Copilot, which is what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves. Burke, tell us what you do at Microsoft.
Hey, what's up, Jesse? Thanks for having me on the podcast. Longtime listener, first time caller. My name is Burke, and I am a developer advocate at Microsoft, and I work on the VS Code team trying to spread the good news about Visual Studio Code. And most recently, Jesse, have you heard of Copilot?
I have heard of Copilot.
Have you heard that word? Right. Have you heard that word in excess of 100 times today already? Yeah. So that's my qualifications are that I spend my entire life thinking about Visual Studio Code and Copilot and what that experience should be like for developers and trying to do my best to help the team get there.
I'm sure no one has heard of you, James. James Montemagno.
Yes, I'm James. Yeah, so I lead our developer community team inside of our developer division in Core AI. So, you know, my team engages deeply with developers across the globe, across all of our products. So whether it be VS Code, Visual Studio, .NET, TypeScript, Playwright, Java ecosystem, you name it. I'm a longtime .NET MAUI developer, C# developer, building all the things. And I work very close with Burke and the VS Code team and our Cloud Advocate teams, specifically around developer productivity. You know, we've been blessed by the world's best IDEs and code editors in the world. And they've been supercharged with GitHub Copilot, with AI productivity. And honestly, I've been using it since day one, but in the last 6 months, 5 months, 1 week, every single day, this thing is injected with awesomeness that is enabling me to build more applications and write more code, write in quote, more code ever than I have probably in my entire life. So I love it. I've been making videos all about it, giving talks on it and vibe coding and doing real coding and all sorts of good stuff. And yeah, me, Pierce, and Burke talk almost every single day about how we can help enable more developers adopt this awesome technology or even just get started with it. Like, what is it? Why do you use it? Like, how is it different? What about security? All these things. So I'm excited when you reached out, Jesse, to talk more because I think there's many people that heard about it like a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe use ghost text, a little text that comes in, but everything's completely different and completely awesome in so many more ways. So that's why I'm here.
You know, I've known you, James, for a long time, and I have to tell you that it's your lack of enthusiasm that's a problem.
I agree. It's the worst. I just really need to amp myself up.
Have you met Pierce? If you want to see a lack of enthusiasm, let me introduce you to Pierce.
You put me and Pierce together, it's game over. I mean, we had a vibe coding booth. We live streamed for, what was it, like 20 hours or something, building all sorts of things with different people. And yeah, you put me and Burke and Pierce all in a room and it's game over. It's a good time having fun. And remember when coding was fun? That's what it is again. It's fun again in all sorts of fun ways, in my personal opinion.
To Copilot, where Copilot is today, and some of the exciting new stuff that's happening.
Burke, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in the world of Visual Studio Code, as it were, I think the most prescient, if I can use that word, it's a podcast. There's no better place for a word like prescient than a podcast. Right, but the most prescient
issue you can use any word you like in this podcast.
Oh, really? Is this not a family show?
This is a techie show, so anything that a geek could put up with, you're all set.
Is fair game. Okay, all right. I can say words like hexadecimal. So I think the most exciting stuff recently. So it's some big announcements from Build for those who couldn't do 4 hours of keynotes. We don't blame you. It's okay. Let me see if we can try to recap. So for Visual Studio Code, we announced that we're going to open source the GitHub Copilot extension for Visual Studio Code. And what that means is like, what does that actually mean? Well, what that means is that Visual Studio Code itself has always been open source, but GitHub Copilot has not been. So if you wanted to contribute to GitHub Copilot or build on it or extend it or do any of that stuff, you can't. Yeah, other than through the APIs that we give you, you can't. You can't see the prompts. You can't see what we're doing. And so we're going to take all of the features from that extension and we're going to move them into the open source core of Visual Studio Code. That work's already started. It's going to take some time, right? That's not something you do overnight. It's a little bit of effort there. But what that means is that the community now gets full visibility into what we're doing, and we get to build it with folks in the open, which is what made Visual Studio Code what it is today, right? Like, Visual Studio Code is great, not because of what we do with it. It's great because of what the community builds for it. Like, it's all the extensions and the incredible things that people build for it. That's what makes it delightful. And that's what's going to make Copilot and Visual Studio Code delightful moving forward. I would say, yeah. Let's see, other than that, if I can pontificate on a few more items, I think MCP is really important right now. That's also very top of mind for everybody. It's a buzzword. You can say it at parties to impress people, even if you don't know what it is. And if you don't know what it is, it's okay, because what's that?
Sorry. Why don't you say what the initials stand for?
Right, I was about to say, yeah, if you don't know what it is, don't worry, because neither do large language models. I was working with like ChatGPT today, and it called it motivational, you know, something, something. I was like, no, that's not what it is. So it's Model Context Protocol, which you can just sort of think about. It's really sort of like a confusing concept, but it's actually a really simple solution to a really complicated problem. And the problem is that you have this AI, right? It's, you know, Copilot, which behind the scenes is some model. And then that model needs to be able to talk to and do other things. Like, it needs to be able to know what your database looks like, or maybe it needs to be able to read your Figma designs, or maybe it needs to be able to use Playwright, or it needs to be able to talk to GitHub. And it can't do any of those things. It's sandboxed inside of your editor. And so what MCP does, it's just a little layer that sort of runs on your machine. They're called MCP servers, but they typically, a lot of them run locally as Docker containers or node packages. And all it is a thing that GitHub Copilot knows how to talk to. That's it. And so it sits there. So via like a Postgres MCP server is just this little thing that then Copilot can call as a tool and say, yo, what are the tables in this database? And then the MCP server then takes that and calls the Postgres database to figure out what the tables are, and then responds to the model and is like, here's what they are. And then the model can, you know, use that in its thinking. And of course, context is magic with AI. Like, if it's not working, it's because you didn't give it enough context, right? If you think about it, if AI knew everything, it could do anything. Anything that it can't do is simply because it doesn't know about it. And so it gets confused, and it's really confident in its knowledge of things. And so if it doesn't know something, it will just imagine the answer, which we commonly call hallucinations. And that's where you go off the rails. But if you actually do give it all of the context, and so that's what MCP does, right? It's just tools that the model can now call to get additional context. So that's super hot, very important. Lots of announcements around MCP at Build. I don't know, James, I've been talking for a while. My voice is more annoying than yours. You take it from here.
Well, I think what Burke does, he went all the way to the end, and we're going to Tarantino this, and we're going to continue the rollback of what else has happened. So we've not only open sourced the GitHub Copilot chat extension VS Code, we've integrated Model Context Protocol support. So the chat itself, the agents themselves, and GitHub Copilot can talk to other things, whether it be databases directly, GitHub directly, these things, and provide context and insight into it. You can create your own MCP servers, or for example, you might connect to Figma and have it look at a Figma file and understand how to implement it. But the core functionality is that how GitHub Copilot inside of VS and VS Code has evolved from doing editor, kind of like gray text suggestions, to doing something like next edit suggestions, which is you change one variable, you change a piece of code, and it will recommend, look further down and say, oh, I think you need this. Maybe this is another change. And you tab, 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 and go. But then additionally, there's other unique items inside of it, which is in that chat panel. And this is where Burke has been focused, where a lot of developers spend a lot of time. And for the longest time, GitHub Copilot chat was a chat, or it could recommend edits. But the unique part was the agent mode, which at Build, we announced that agent mode is available fully, not only in Visual Studio Code, where it's been available now in Visual Studio for almost a month, and we're recording at the beginning of June here, 2025, but it's also available in other places such as IntelliJ, Eclipse, and Xcode for all developers. It's really unique about it. And agent mode is really unique because it is this chat window where you describe what you would like to do and what you would like to implement. I want to implement a brand new bingo application that shows bingo cards, that puts a nice animation on it and do some things, right? Or I want to add a new feature into my application. And what Agent Mode will do is we'll understand the context of your application, what's available, the code files, it will investigate it, it will put together a plan, and it will execute that plan. But moreover, because it's deeply integrated into these IDEs and code editors, what it's able to do is go off and it is able to then inspect for errors, right? And it can do builds, it can install NuGet packages, it can run command line applications, it can install things for you like NPM packages. And then what it can do at the same time is call these other services through MCP, like Burke was talking about, to get additional context. So there's all sorts of MCP servers out there. Maybe you're using a brand new library, one that can provide additional context to it. So GitHub Copilot itself inside of VS Code and Visual Studio and these other IDEs are offering this huge suite of productivity in many, many ways based on how you want to code. But on top of that, Jesse, and I'll just keep going with it, is that GitHub Copilot itself is not just in your editor or IDE. There is a coding agent on github.com where you can assign tasks, where just like agent mode inside of VS or VS Code is going off and autonomously doing and implementing things for you, you can assign an issue, a bug report, a feature request to GitHub Copilot inside of github.com, and it will go off asynchronously, create a branch, create a PR, and implement that for you, right, as a full suite of it. And to all that context that's there, they work with multiple models. You have GPT, you have Claude, you have Gemini, you have all these deep rich integrations. And then VS Code, which is iterating, I'm on nightly, so just the insider build, which everyone's an insider. You can get all these features in real time and you're seeing all these new things. So you can have custom models, you can have models running on your machine, you can connect up to anything you want, drop in a token and kind of go to town. So what's neat about this is that it's not just for code editing, but it's for planning, it's for iterating, it's for adding new features, and it enables you to boost this productivity all at the same time. And there's a whole world of best practices and instructions and prompting that is going on beyond this. So that is like the whirlwind, like 6 months. And I mean, there's a bajillion other features that have been packed into VS Code and Visual Studio. I mean, like if you hit an exception inside of Visual Studio, you can just say analyze with Copilot. It will take the stack trace. It'll understand everything that you're doing. It's been integrated into .NET Aspire. So you can have your entire .NET Aspire. I'm sure you had Maddie on talking about all this entire solution. You say, ask with GitHub Copilot and boom, it analyzes and knows everything about your project. So it's an entire suite, if you will, but every single day for developers coding and iterating on their applications, that's where VS Code, that's where Visual Studio comes side by side to crush through this amazing developer productivity. So that's my pitch, Jesse, adding on to everything that Burke said.
That's very cool. If a developer is totally wired by what you said, where would they go to learn how to do this, to learn step by step, to get the breadth of what you've described?
My YouTube channel.
Can't do that.
Fair enough.
No, I can't. VS Code YouTube channel.
Well, you can go to James.
How much of what's shown for VS Code is going to apply equally to Visual Studio?
That's a great question. Yeah, the place to get started is like, I mean, there's many places, but just on github.com, you can click on the Copilot, you know, feature that's going to give you all the details where you get started right through GitHub Copilot. The VS Code YouTube is a plethora, cornucopia, if you will, of just amazing deep content. Visual Studio YouTube as well for that content. And of course, tons of people building great content. It depends. Like there are different features and different IDEs. Like, you know, I think there's different release cadences. So Visual Studio Code's like bleeding cutting edge. It updates every single night, right? And Burke can talk about how that works. And then Visual Studio, you know, it had the quarterly releases, now kind of monthly releases. So, and they have unique, you know, enterprise-y features as well where Copilot fits in. But I don't know, Burke, what would you say for how iteration of VS Code works?
Yeah, that's a good one. So before I dive into that, just real quick, I do think that it's, if you want to stay up to date with what's like happening with Visual Studio Code, then you really following the official handles on your social media platform of choice is a great idea. So if that's LinkedIn, that's X, if that's Blue Sky, we're in all those places. And again, I'm speaking just about Visual Studio Code. The problem here is that AI changes so fast that it's extremely difficult to keep up, right? And so if you're out there listening to this thinking like, this is ridiculous, man, I can't keep up with what y'all are doing, don't worry, I can't either, right? So that makes two of us. And so basically, essentially, you know, you think that you have a handle on it, and then you go to bed and you wake up and everything's changed. And so, you know, just join the club. So if you're feeling that way, I just want you to feel better and just know that we all feel that way right now. And for Visual Studio Code, we release every 30 days. So 12 times a year, there's a release of VS Code. And if you actually go to code.visualstudio.com and you go to updates, there's a tab at the top that says updates. You'll see all of what's new in the latest release, which I think is 1.100. And in that latest release at the top, you'll find all of what's new for Copilot, which is just agent or AI features in VS Code you can think about. And so that's sort of the cadence that Visual Studio Code has, and a little bit of inside baseball. I think it helps people to understand like how this actually gets built behind the scenes. And that is that you have GitHub Copilot and you have Visual Studio Code, and people sort of like think of these as two separate things, but they're actually not. So GitHub builds, you know, sort of like the API or what like the service layer for Copilot. And then everything that you actually see in Visual Studio Code gets built by the VS Code team, by and large, right? And so it's helpful to understand that like the team that builds VS Code is building the Copilot features that you're using, right? These are not two separate things. And we're working with GitHub to do that, right? So these teams work very, very closely together to get these features built and to make sure that they get to you. And as James said, like, if you don't want to wait 30 days for a major release, just get on Insiders. So go to code.visualstudio.com, look for Insiders, and we will literally ship you things the same day that everybody else internally gets them, right? So the second that an engineer decides to commit, it shows up in Insiders and you get it. It's like, I want to say it's nightly, but there have been days where I've updated like four times in a day and I'm like, okay, right? But if you want to, and that's what I use, that's my daily driver is Insiders. It's not terribly unstable, right? And so, you know, you may find out, you know, we may tell you, hey, VisionAut is now supported for all models, right? And it's in the Insiders and you can use it right now, right? And so if you're following us on socials and you've got Insiders, we'll let you know when stuff drops and you'll just have the latest and greatest. You can use it right away. I mean, that's a remarkable thing. I don't know that we've ever been like, I mean, Visual Studio Code has always had Insiders. We've always released stuff that like bleeding edge, but I feel like most people don't know that that's an option. And so they're like, why isn't this in VS Code? And we're like, it is, it's been there for 2 months, but it's not an Insiders. And we don't graduate it until we feel like, okay, this thing's highly stable, because by the time we put it in stable, it's got to be able to like, you know, it's got to be able to row the boat at the place where you work. It can't just fall over, right? That's really important. So it's got to be able to stand up to scrutiny. And so, yeah, those are your two options, Insiders and stable. Insiders if you want the latest and greatest, and stable if you want, like, by the time we've blessed it and said, like, yeah, yo, this is ready for prime time, that's in stable.
Yeah. And Visual Studio itself, as far as feature parity goes, it's pretty close as far as like all the agent mode, MCP support stuff. That all really landed at the beginning of May before build into Visual Studio. It was in preview for a bit for some of that stuff and landed. So that was like some of the major features. But because there's different release cycles and different release cadences, they're not going to be like one-to-one. But also Visual Studio itself has, you know, kind of unique additional features that, you know, are part of the IDE where they've injected it. So there's some uniqueness there. So you can go into the Visual Studio Code documentation. You can go into the Visual Studio documentation to learn all about GitHub Copilot and the integration into it. There's tons of great build sessions as well. Some really fun ones, but then there's also labs at build too. So you can actually take the labs. Well, Jesse will give you some links to the labs as well. Right. So you can like learn and go through it in an hour and actually learn some of the core concepts. And we have a bigger workshop as well that kind of goes through the fundamentals, if you will, pre-agent mode. But there's all sorts of great content out there to sort of get started in going with it. And I think if you see what the teams are doing and how they're evolving GitHub Copilot, it is really towards this sort of chat prompt face interface first, while still being, of course, focused on making the editing experience great and improving those code completions and tabbing and auto sort of recommendations next. So the team rolls out models all the time that are custom to the code completion, which are different than the models that you're using for chat or agent mode, because they need to be crazy super fast and implement things ridiculously quickly. So there's a lot of enhancements going on to just, I'm writing code and it's recommending what I'm doing next. And you start to sort of work with the AI side by side. And for some people, that takes a little bit longer to click. And for some people, it's a really fast to click as well.
Burke, let me just go back for 1 second. Let's put on to the show notes. You mentioned social media, Blue Sky, some of the others. So hopefully we'll get links from you or IDs from you about who people should be following.
Absolutely, yeah. And following those brand accounts is great for keeping up on what's latest and greatest. But like, if you want to hang out with me and James, we'd love to have you connect with us as well. And cool. Yeah, we're in all the places.
Me and a couple thousand of my friends.
Yeah, exactly. We have a lot of fun out there. We do a lot of vibe coding. We have a good time. It's fun. It's a great time to be in tech and to just sort of discover what this thing can do in real time along with us. I think this is like a really weird time to be in tech for me, at least, because it's kind of like people are like, what are the best practices for this thing? And I was like, I don't know. I was kind of hoping you would tell me. Like, to a degree, like if the feature just dropped, like I can tell you that the feature is here, but then like together we can figure out what does that actually mean for you in your day to day. Right? Like this technology is arriving like nightly. the best practices are still in flight.
How disruptive do you think that this is going to be to the industry? I think a lot of developers are thinking, you know, straight up coding is going to go away and AI is going to take my job. And can you talk a little bit about how you see that evolution coming in the next year or two?
Oh man, that's such a great question. So first of all, I'd point people in the show notes, Jesse. We'll put a link to the GitHub Copilot for skeptics who think AI is overrated. Our session from Build, where we just talked about this exact topic. So yeah, I think from my perspective here, the way I usually articulate this is like a year ago when people used to say like AI is going to take developers' jobs. And I would think the only way that you could possibly come to that conclusion is if you've never used AI to help you code. If you have, then you know that your job is very safe. But if you fast forward 12 months, I think that we're way farther along than we have any right to be, or that I expected that we would be, in terms of the capability of these models to do more than I thought that they would be able to do. And that's mostly due to things like agent mode and GitHub Copilot coding agent, which is remarkably, capable on its own. That said, I think that this idea that we won't need developers and that AI is going to be writing all the code, I know that this is where like CEOs of major companies are going to disagree with me. So you can either listen to them or listen to me. But it seems to me like we're always going to need developers. And actually, the better the developer you are, the better your AI will actually be for you in your hands. In other words, if you don't know what you're doing and AI starts going down the wrong path, how are you going to know? You're just going to keep going down that wrong path with it until you end up in a ditch. And then you're just going to have to unwind all of that. And 2 hours of your day is gone. And you could have just done it faster if you just done it yourself. Whereas if you understand what you're doing, right, and you ask the AI to implement a feature, and especially if you've worked on your prompt development skills and you're following some of these best practices about using planning models to plan features and then actually get agents to implement. And then as the agent's going, you're watching so that if it comes back and it's like, yeah, okay, hey, I did this thing and I used a custom hook to do it. And you're like, no, we're not using custom hooks here, buddy. Right? Back right out of that and try again. Right? But you have to catch it at that point. If you're just like, cool, and you just keep going, then you're in trouble. So that's a long way to say that I think that the more skilled you are as a developer, this is actually a very unique time for you because you actually do get to like take yourself and scale yourself out in ways that were just never possible before. So essentially, like, your job doesn't go away. You just become like almost superhuman in that regard. And the other thing I would say to people is that, like, does anybody work at a place where your backlog is so small that you can just like, we just like don't need devs anymore because now we have AI. Like there's such a backlog of work that needs to be done. I feel like there's like an entire century of agent work that like technical debt that's just hanging out behind us. And this like frees us up to focus on the things. That's how I look at least going forward. Like, let me give you a great example of this is I used to work at a place where we had all of this code that was written in Fox Pro. And that, listen, if you're listening to this and you do Fox Pro and you're like, hey, buddy, don't throw shade. I'm not throwing shade at Fox Pro. I'm just saying it was old and nobody knew how to work on it. So every now and again, like stuff would go wrong. And basically, like they'd come around looking for like just whoever was at their desk, and whoever they found was the person who had to fix the problem with the Fox Pro app, which was like running critical business operations. So you just like didn't want to be around when that happened. And what I'm saying is that like AI can be doing this stuff so that you don't have to do this stuff. You don't want to do this stuff. Let agents handle this stuff because they actually do know Fox Pro, right? They're really, really good at stuff that's quite old. It's the newer stuff they're not so great at because training dates are not always up to date. Anyway, that's my TED talk. Thank you.
I know. I think it's a good analogy. Like how I've looked at it is it's another tool in your toolbox of productivity, right? IntelliSense, IntelliCode, all of these things, you know, code reviews, you know, different tools that look at things, you know, think of it like this is, there's tools out there that are doing like security scanning and GitHub Copilot Advanced Security for like secret scanning. It's doing all that hard work of stuff that you don't want to do. And Burke is right. Like the more that you are able to work and understand this tool in your toolbox is the better that you're able to get at it to do the things that you want. And again, it's not always going to go down the right path. Just like me, by the way, who also codes and goes down completely incorrect paths, right? Like as developer mind frames, it has that mind frame as much as it can have a mind frame as of a developer, but it can go down wrong paths, just like Burke said, and you can correct it and you can get it back on and you can change the context. And I've implemented some pretty terrible code and I've gone down the wrong path. And like, based on what my mind is, if I don't have the criteria that's there, but I think for me is, these things, like we've been saying, do change very often, which means you need to be trying things, even if you tried it a month ago or 2 months ago or 3 months ago, because things change. It gets a lot better, right? New models, not just even new models, just how the GitHub Copilot interacts, like the sort of system prompt that it gives it, how it defines it, how you work with it, how you define different things. So it kind of is able to continuously get better almost every single week, every single day, based on how the tools are interacting with these models or completing code. So for me as a developer, I feel like it's a tool in my toolbox that makes me super more productive, especially as I master that tool. Like that's the thing. It's like, if you were someone that's like IntelliSense, no, thank you. I don't need anything to recommend anything for you. you're in that moment, but even more of it, right? We're so much more advanced from it. So mastering that tool, I think is fundamental. So if you're not necessarily on board, you don't have to be all in. And some people code in different ways. Like I am a prompter. I am a prompt at all the time. Stephen Tobe, he is a ghost text. Like he is a recommendations tap, tap, tap. That is how his mind works. And you will learn to work the best with these to make you more productive. And then sometimes you're like, I got an idea, leave me alone. And you just disable it for a bit, right? You're kind of in the cockpit, you're in control of like these tools at all times of how far you want them to go. And like even Burke, like we're in the live coding booth. Burke doesn't even type in his keyboard. He just talks to VS Code to have it implement stuff. And it's beautiful, like because that part of AI, voice to text, is also brilliant at the same time. So you're able to, here's what the LLMs, right? They're good at interpreting a bunch of stuff. Like you can just brain dump and have incorrect spelling, do a bunch of stuff, and it'll figure it out. It's smart. They're just smart. They'll figure it out. And if they can't figure it out, you see what it's saying and you course correct in real time, just like you would. If Burke is my project manager, he can write a terrible spec and I can implement it terribly, and then we can course correct and get it back.
And I would write a terrible spec, by the way. But by the way, James, you bring up a really good point about that's a great example. Because if you remember back to that session in the booth there, or as I called it, the hot box, we would never have gotten through that. We actually did vibe up some pretty cool stuff. But there was at some point like where we were trying to, first of all, we had to get that light bulb connected, which required us to know quite a bit about networking and like how networks actually work and like how the bulb connects. So you have to understand all that. And then later on, we were trying to deploy to Azure Static Web Apps. So we needed to understand that it uses functions and how the functions are called. And you need a local emulator. Like, there's so much knowledge that goes into actually building an application that isn't even code, right? It's not even your ability to reverse a binary tree. That's pretty uninteresting in the larger scheme of things. It's like gluing all the things together, man. How are you going to authenticate? Where are you going to store the data? How are you going to put this in an API so your key's not exposed in your website?
That's true. That's true.
It's, you have to know what you're doing.
It's very true. Like, I had, I was working on modernizing this application that I had a long time ago, and I was having it refactor. It's really good at refactor. I'm like, do this stuff. And I looked at the UI and I'm like, what is it doing? Like, the list is cut off. It's cut off. And I'm like, the list is cut off. Is this? And it's like, no, it's totally there. It's totally fine. And then I looked at it and it's like, height equals 200. It's like, yeah, the height is set to 200. It's not cut off in your mind, but in the UI, it's there, right? So that review process is, it's fun. It's like, oh, I could have made that mistake easily, you know? So I don't know if we've asked and answered any of your questions at all, Jesse, but if you can't tell, like, Burke and I, with our huge smiles on our face, like, we love this stuff. We just think it's so unbelievably cool. And we use it every day. I mean, like, I've built production scale applications that are everyone is using, you know what I mean?
Internal apps. James lately has built a tool that's quite popular. And I'm actually building one, like, as we're on the pod, I'm just over here, like, vibing on the side on a different side project. Cause you can't stop. Like, once you start, you can't stop. It's too easy. You just
I am actively right now. I'm like vibing with the AI. So, like, when Burke is talking, I'm prompting. And when I am talking, I am focused on you, right? So, like, I am prompting, I'm telling it what to do. I'm seeing that code being written in real time. I'm working on this Bingo app. And, I'm prompting, I'm learning the tools on it. It's like so much fun. I remember I was in a flow, and it's kind of like, you know, when you get into a code flow, like you're just typing on the keyboard, code flow. The same thing happens when you're working with GitHub Copilot. As you get into that flow of this prompt and it's streaming in real time and you're reading what it's outputting. It's telling you what it's going to do. You're like, yeah, let's do that. And then even I had this thing in Burke showed me how to do this. It's like, I implement this big plan, do this thing. And I'm like, then I write on the end and ask me to review what you're about to do before you do it each step along the way. So it literally is like, oh, you want to check in with me. So it's like, hey, I'm going to implement this 10-step process. I'm going to update this file. Let's do it, buddy. And I'm like, cool. I'm reviewing. I'm like, next step, reviewing, like, next step. And it's like all happening in real time, saving me a bunch of features. And then literally it's like midnight and I have this new idea for the app. And I'm like, well, I can't code this right now. I go to GitHub, open the issue, assign it to Copilot. I wake up in the morning. It's been done for 8 hours. You know what I mean? Like, it's mind boggling. I pull it down, test it, and I'm good to go. So this asynchronous workflow is really cool, because here's the other part too that Burke and I didn't even talk about is, as you know, you're working maybe with agent mode, you can be doing other things. I literally have like 4 conversations happening in real time. I'm editing code, as long as it's not in the same file, so I don't mess it up. But I'm implementing features while it's implementing features at the same time. It's literally like I have Burke sitting next to me coding asynchronously, just going on a feature while I'm coding on a feature at the same time. It is mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling the further you get down this rabbit hole, because you could be implementing like 3 features at the same time. It's crazy. It's so cool.
Well, yeah, it's completely jazzed me on this. I don't want to interrupt you, Burke, but I mean, there's no way to listen to this and not want to stop the podcast and go start coding with this thing. It sounds mind-blowing. It sounds like a huge step from Copilot chat. The agents sound like almost a whole iteration past that, a whole different way of coding.
Yeah, it's a completely different experience. And that's why I said 12 months ago, I was like, meh. And then agents came along and I was like, oh, okay. Because when the agent can execute terminal commands and it can reason, it was one of the things we talk about in the Copilot for Skeptics session, is that we used to tell people, listen, listener, chat. Do you call them chat? What do you call your listeners? Can we call them chat, Jesse?
I call them thank you.
Thank you. Hey, listen, chat. Listen up, chat. Here's what I discovered, is that Like last year we were telling, well, you may have heard this before, this analogy, Jesse, of LLMs are just like autocomplete on steroids. Have you heard this before? Yes. Have you heard this analogy? So we, I stood on the stage and told people that myself, because it's true, but it's like an oversimplification of the worst order, because not only is it doing that, but it's like building up a latent context of its own as it's going and reasoning about what it's doing. That's why it's so good. It's not just guessing whichever word comes next. It wouldn't be very smart if that's all it was doing. And what that means is that as it goes along and it executes terminal commands and it's reading your problems view in VS Code and it's looking at the terminal output, it's looking at your custom instructions, it's looking at other files, it's searching your code base just like you would. It's literally making decisions and moving in steps to try to get to a conclusion. And it doesn't know that. How does it even know when it's done? Well, it knows that it's done when it feels like it's solved all the problems and completed all the steps and it sees that all the functionality is there. Like, until you try this yourself, chat, until you go try this, it's really hard to explain what this actually is. But I don't want to oversell it here in the sense that, like, I had posted this GIF the other day of me just saying, like, hey, build an operating system, and Copilot just responding with bruh. Right. So, like, within reason, right? If I told you to go build an operating system, Jesse, like, you could do it, but it's going to take you a while. And the same thing is true.
I would quit and run away, is what I would do.
There you go. I mean, and maybe LLMs would do the same. But the point being, like, within reason, I think part of the problem here is that people hear this hype and they're like, oh, you know, build Facebook. It's like, no, wait, back up. Hold on. There's a difference between asking for a feature like, hey, let's persist chat sessions. In order to do that, you're going to need to know about the database, make sure you use the Supabase MCP tools to check on the database structure. And then I want you to create a plan for how you're going to do this and then turn around and give the plan back to the model and let it actually implement the feature. And that's one feature. But that's the kind of stuff where you're like, it's so powerful and you end up just building all of this stuff because you can. You can build anything. You wake up on a Saturday, I'm going to build a bingo app. You built a bingo app, James.
I did.
For people who play bingo.
Did it on a Saturday.
And it's got like a, doesn't it have a spinning wheel in it too?
It does. Yeah.
Bingo, I mean, that's the kind of thing where it's like, you would never do that on your own because there's no ROI in putting a spinning wheel in your app, except for now you can with zero effort. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, you know, and that was the thing is I was at Bingo. I mean, to this point, I was at Bingo, and this guy who is the Bingo MC, he was using like 18 different websites to generate the cards. It was like custom. It just wasn't Bingo, like with the numbers. It was custom words. It was all bird themed. So we'd print out custom Bingo cards, and he would do funny like jokes about all the different birds. And I was like, I was looking, and he used this website, this big spinning wheel, and things were crashing on him and nothing was working and nothing was good. And I'm like, I was sitting there. I was like, I can't let this happen. I'm like, I cannot, there has to be a better way. So I talked to Ben, the bingo guy. And I said, Ben, I got to fix this. I have to fix everything for you. And I was like, what would be the perfect bingo thing that you would possibly want? He's like, oh, I want this, this, and this. I sat down and wrote it in a day. It does custom PDF print offs. It does like four different ways of doing bingo. It does normal bingo. It saves your state. So if you refresh the page, it saves everything. It uses a local database. Like, just does it all. It did it all. You know what I mean? It's like crazy. Now I'm adding new features. I'm like, oh, what if you do this? What do you do this? I'm like, cool. Yeah, I can send a prompt off in the middle of the night and wait 2 minutes and it's implemented. It's, you know, really cool to kind of see that happen in real time. But I would have never done that. I would have never done that before. I don't have the time to do it. Not like the bingo app is super hard, but like, I don't know how to do a wheel. I don't know. Copilot does. Done. It's HTML, CSS. It figures it out. You know, it's really cool.
Yeah. One of the After things this, that- my head has completely exploded. So I just can't thank you guys enough for coming on and telling me about this. And all I want to do is go get this running and start talking to it and see what it can do. So hopefully we'll put a lot of stuff into the show notes. Go ahead, Burke.
I want to leave your chat with just one more thing. So listen, chat, if you're still skeptical, just do this. Here's all you got to do, right? pull up your personal website. I'm sure you got one. If it's like mine, it looks terrible, right? Because you're not a designer. Neither am I. It's fine. Pull up your personal website. Go into GitHub Copilot and tell it, use Claude, use the model Claude, which is available to you. And it's free, by the way. If you didn't know, Copilot is free in Visual Studio Code. You don't have to pay for it. And tell it, make this site, make sure you're in agent mode in the chat and say, make my website more modern and just see what it does for you. And then, and if you're not convinced after that one prompt, make my site more modern, then I failed. But I promise you, you will be. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, and if you want a good follow-up after that, after it's made it more modern, or even before, if you just like, I don't want it to do anything, just go into ask mode and ask it to analyze your app and say, can you give me a bunch of recommendations of how to improve this application from concurrency, performance, whatever? It'll look at all your code base, do everything. I did this recently in an app. I said, can you go find potential memory leaks? And it's like, hey, I've identified 25, you know, memory leaks in your application of things you're not unsubscribing to, things you're not disposing of. Do you want me to fix them? Yes. And then it just does it. So like, that's the thing too, is you can use it to generate a plan for you to do these things. So at whatever your comfort zone is, but I would tell you this much, if you work with Burke, just create a branch ahead of time. That's all you got to do. Just create a branch and then ask it to make it more modern. And I love that. You know what I mean? And that's the cool part about it. It just works.
Fantastic, guys. Thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. This was just so much information. I'm going to have to go and take it apart piece by piece, but this was great.
Awesome. Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jesse.